Well, you can go ahead and be seated this morning. I want to thank you, Pastor, for the place you just made for me to do what I believe I'm here on assignment to do, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate the tempo of this church and of this house that you are so dialed in to receive from heaven. That Sunday at 10:45 isn't where you go because it's on your social calendar. And you don't just come to check off, I went to church, you know, on your I'm a good person list. But you come to receive from God. And, you know, it makes a difference. I would say almost 50% of any given service has to do with how we hear. And that's certainly true. And so I know then, because of just how you all have set your hearts and how I have prepared and what the Lord has given me, that we are going to hit the bullseye this morning. Glory to God. And I'm so thrilled to be in this moment with you. It's been a special moment for me, really, since I got going and got in the car and came here this morning because of some things that I felt led to change on my schedule. This is my last service for 2015. And it has just been a banner year for this ministry. I told your pastors, I said, you know, it was like at the beginning of 2015, somebody blew a whistle and everything just jumped levels. And there was an increase in power. There was an increase in influence. There has been an increase in doors of opportunity. But all of that equates to the bottom line, which means there has been an increase of people that we've been able to reach with the message of God's destiny and purpose for your life, for your church, for your city, for your region, and for your nation. And that is predominantly what this ministry is called to do, to be a voice, to speak to the plan and the purpose of God as where it's at in that moment, and to bring clarity. And so it's just been tremendous to see some of the things that God has done, all that he's done. But certainly, you know, you start out a year and you just set your face to go. And you know God has good things prepared, but then you get into it and you go, oh, Jesus, I know he had good things prepared. I just pray I was prepared for it. And so he helped us along the way and just brought the right staff right on time. And how many of you are so thankful for answers right on time and help right on time? Yes. Oh, isn't he faithful to us? And so it's been good. So I just have to say, just personally for myself, to be able to have this last service of this year, I feel like that's pivotal. It's pivotal for me. But to be able to have that here, you know, with you all that are so near and dear to my heart, and I have known you all for a number of years and have spent wonderful times in the presence of God in this sanctuary with this congregation, and so it is special to me. And I just know, because of the kind of year that it's been, that God likes big finishes. So I hope you're prepared. So at the end of this service, I'm going to set off a confetti cannon, and it's just gonna, just kidding. If I'd had time, I might have pulled it together, but praise the Lord. Well, if you've got your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open to the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. And as you're doing that, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. Most of you all know, but one of the things that was just so tremendous this year is that our first book came out for this ministry. It came out in August, I think, was the full release date. It's called Your Defining Moment, When Time and Destiny Meet. And you can get that here, but it's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's and all that. But it's really a book that the Lord dropped in my heart by revelation, and I wrote really by revelation about all the components that it takes to live out God's purpose for your life. Some of the chapters are your time, his time, how to be entrusted with vision, inside information, How to Deal with Disillusionment on the Path to Destiny. That's honestly one of my favorites. Divine Connections, Roadmappers and Roadmakers, and the Power of Legacy. So that is back there. I'm going to share a little bit out of that this morning. And then we also did a 21-day devotional to give you the word to speak to your day before your day can speak to you. And I highly recommend, whether you use this or not, that you start out 2016 speaking to your days before your days can speak to you. Amen? And so I wanted to read day 21 of this to you today. This will be our daily devotional together. We'll do it this morning. It says, "You were made for this day, and you were meant for this moment." How many of you believe that? You should. "You are part of a long line of faith leaders, and your time is at hand. You have all that you need to rise up and fulfill the destiny that is before you. This is the purpose for which you were born." Now, as you can tell, you can't read this without preaching it. It's just got the preach on it. I can't help it. So that's your encouraging word. Here's your declaration. So you would get up, and before you leave your house, you would say, "I'm ready for the day ahead. This is a day of destiny, and I will not miss my moment." Amen? "I am not defined by circumstances, symptoms, situations, or opinions. I am defined by who God has said that I am, and what He says is what I have chosen to believe. Because this is my choice, I say out loud and speak it every day over my life. As I speak this word today, things are lining up concerning me, and I have everything I need to fulfill my moment." Glory to God, you're dismissed. Thank you for coming. No, I'm just saying, you might want to put that in your arsenal. So those are back there. And I felt the anointing on that. That blessed me. I tell you, you know, when you get it by revelation, it blesses you because you didn't know it the moment before you said it or wrote it. So you go back and you go, "Man, that's good." And then you go, "Oh, that's got my name on it. All right, well, praise God." Hallelujah. I'm sure glad y'all love me. Isaiah chapter 51, and this has been sort of the hallmark scripture for this year, and I can say this to this crowd. Y'all are familiar with the ministry of Dr. Mary Frances Ferralo, and for years she has started every service with, is it 2 Corinthians 5? Is it 2? 2 Corinthians 2? Don't tell her I didn't remember. I'll be in so much trouble. Anyway, for years, she has started out almost every service that she's done with, "I did not come to you in excellency of speech, but in demonstration of the Spirit." And I have had the honor of traveling with her quite a bit over the last year and a half or so. And I would sit in those services, and every now and then I would think, does she really have to start out with the same scripture? Be careful what you decide to have an opinion about. Because if it hasn't been almost every service of 2015, I would have something else. I'd be sitting in the chair during worship in the Spirit of God. "I want you to start with Isaiah 51. "Yes, sir. All right. That sounds great. I'll do that." So you are no different. Isaiah 51, in verse 16, we're going to read this. It says, let's start with verse 15. "But I am the Lord your God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name." So many times before God says something extremely imperative, he likes to first remind us of who he is and what he is capable of. So that before we hear what he's about to say he wants to do in us and through us, he reminds us to take the limits off. God is not a man. He's God. And he does this. "I am the Lord your God that divides seas, that divides the Atlantic Ocean, that divides the Pacific Ocean, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts, angelic host, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of angelic hosts," not angels, hosts of angelic angels. Isn't he awesome? "The Lord of hosts is his name." And now he's taken the limits off of our thinking to prepare us for what he's about to say. Verse 16, "And I have put my words in your mouth, Life of Faith Bible Church, and I have even covered you in the shadow of my hand that I may plant the heavens in Louisville, Kentucky, that I may lay the foundations of the earth and say unto Life of Faith Bible Church, you are my people." Verse 17, "So awake, awake, and stand up." Chapter 52 in verse 1, by the Spirit of God through the prophet Isaiah, he says again, "So awake, awake, and put on your strength, O Life of Faith Bible Church, and put on your beautiful garments." I want to say to you this morning that I believe with all my heart that never before are we living in a day where it is required of us that we must live by what we hear. It has been in times past that if you were blessed to be born in the United States of America, that you could take your daily protection as a given. It was fair for you to assume that when you put your children on the school bus and sent them to school, that everything would be okay. That is not this day. It was enough to assume that national disease would not plague us. That is not this day. It was okay for you to assume, simply be not because you were a believer, but because of where you lived and the blessing on this nation, you know, that you could assume a specific amount of well-being, 3 meals a day. We are living in a day and time where what we once assumed as givens, simply because of the blessing upon our land, we can no longer assume those will be enough for us. Because of the day that we live in, things have gotten to such a critical place, even in the great United States. And so what does this mean for you and I? Does it mean that we're left to the same sitting duck openness of mere men? No, no, no. It means that it is required of us now that in order to have protection, in order to have peace of mind that my babies are going to be okay, in order to know that no evil thing shall come nigh my dwelling place, in order to know that no deadly plague will fasten its hold on me, in order to know that he daily loads me with benefits, you are going to have to take him at his word and appropriate your faith for your family to have these things. It is an intense day. And the Spirit of God, in his mercy, even though we see it play out in other cities on television, in his mercy, he's going ahead as his word always does, and he's saying, wake up. Wake up. It's not that we've been asleep. It's that there's a higher place we need to stand in and live from and operate now, because the days we are in require that we do so. I must get up and speak to my day before that day can speak to me. I must order the circumstances I am yet to walk into before those circumstances can have an evil strategic voice grab them up and speak to me. I must send his word before me, before I arrive at the scene, before my kids get to school, before I go in for my daily checkup. Amen? We are living in a day not of fear, not of anxiety. We are living in a day when we must be living by what we hear. The Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. God says, I daily load you with benefits. What is he saying? There are words still proceeding from my mouth. The Bible doesn't say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that once proceeded. It says proceedeth. They're still proceeding. And so that means tomorrow morning when you wake up and you're getting ready and you're getting the family together and you're getting ready to go about your day, because there are things that life requires of you, as you're preparing, you will pause and let your heart be still and say, Father, what would you have to speak to me concerning today, sir? For I am yours to command. And it is at that point when you grant him access that the Spirit of God, being the gentleman as he is, but being the revealer of truth, the one whose sole job it is to show you things to come, will step in that place with you and say, I'm so glad you asked. Here's what I have to say to you. And it might be a word. He might remind you of a verse and put it in your mouth for you to say it. He might give you a flash of something and you think, I think I'm going to change the plan for this evening. I think we're going to do things another way. Amen? Especially when it comes to our divine protection. I had the Lord just 2 weeks ago. I was in the state of New Mexico. I'd been there ministering. And I got up that morning there in the hotel, and I had had a dream the night before, and it was a warning type of dream. And it was warning me of danger. And when I woke up that morning in my hotel room, I didn't wake up scared. I didn't wake up with that feeling, oh, I had a bad dream. You know, I don't really have bad dreams. But even though I had a dream where I was in danger in the dream, when I woke up, I knew the Lord was going ahead of time and warning me. And when I woke up, I said, Lord, what am I to do with this? And he just simply said this, be alert. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. And I said, Father, I thank you for that. I walk in divine protection. I take it as mine. I thank you, Lord, that I dwell in the secret place under the shadow of the Almighty. I thank you, God, that you have given your angels, plural, charge over me. And they hold me up lest I even dash my foot against a stone. And so I said that, and I said, Lord, I thank you for it. And I mean very clear, very sternly, the voice of God on the inside. He said, that's right. And then he said this, and the number one way that I use to keep you in divine protection is by my still small voice and the leading of my inward witness. What was he telling me? You have a part in this. What's the Spirit of God telling us this morning? Wake up to a greater degree. You have a part in this realm of divine protection, and it is hearing what the Spirit of God would say to you. Amen? Church, I believe that we must, at this juncture in history, literally, daily, wrap ourselves in the promises of God. Wrap ourselves in them. And there's a story from history that just hallmarks this so well. And it took place a number of years ago right here in the United States. And the United States, I believe it was in the early 1940s, the United States had built for the first time, the U.S. Navy had built an airship. And they built this airship. Germany already had one. And they built it. It was like the Hindenburg or the Zeppelin, you know, those big. And it was the first one the United States built. And it was so huge that when they flew it, aircrafts could fly into that thing. They could refuel it and fly back out. It was massive. And it was built north of here in Akron, Ohio. And it was named the USS Akron. And so this was a very big deal because it was the first airship that the United States had built. And so they had decided that they were going to have an air exhibition show to show this thing off. And they did it right outside of San Diego, California. And so what they had decided to do is they had put the word out. All these people, hundreds of people had come, families, for this air show. And all these military personnel and the United States Navy seamen were there. And so they were going to fly in the USS Akron. And as they brought it in at this air show, the plan was that they were going to drop ropes and they were going to moor it to this huge steel tower there on the airfield. And so they had just hundreds of Navy seamen out there, and as they dropped the ropes, they were going to grab the ropes and tie that thing down. And so here came the USS Akron, you know, and it came in. It was just huge, massive. And so they dropped those ropes, and those seamen grabbed onto it, and they tied it to that tower. And right as they were tying the front part, don't you know, this wind came in and picked up the tail of that ship and began to lift it. And it was so strong that it snapped the ropes off of that steel tower. And so there were still all these seamen hanging on to these ropes. And so as that thing began to lift, now it was loose and it was rising again. Most of the seamen, there was about 60 of them, when it was just 6 feet off the ground, let go of the ropes and fell to the ground. And thankfully, none of them were really hurt. I think one seaman suffered a broken arm. But as it lifted, there were three guys that held on to the ropes. And so this thing is 50 feet, 100 feet, 200 feet, and it's going higher and higher. And here these three guys are still holding on to these three different ropes. Well, I mean, they just have hundreds of people watching this, you know. And so everybody's just aghast as this thing's taking off. And as it went up higher, you know, it was going farther and farther. And all of a sudden, you could see the first seaman, and he was getting tired. And the winds were picking up, and he began to slip down that rope, and everyone was holding their breath. And all of a sudden, he couldn't hold on anymore, and he let go, and he plummeted, and he fell to his death. And so it was just a few minutes later that the second seaman began to slip down this rope. And it's just terrible. News cameras were there and caught it on film. You know, there's women and children, they're just crying. And so this man slips down and he's at the bottom of the rope. And finally, he can't hold on anymore and he lets go and he falls and he fell to his death. Well, I mean, they're just crying, you know, on this airstrip, and everybody just knows the inevitable is coming. And there's this one guy that they just know any minute is going to suffer, you know, the same fate. And so 3 minutes goes by, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and this guy is still holding on to this rope. And now that airship is so high up, it's just barely a dot on the horizon. They can see this guy holding on. And that seaman held on for over 1 hour until they were finally able to get him up and pull him back up into the airship. And when they finally got him into the airship and got him settled, you know, and let him catch his breath, and all the seamen on that airship gathered around him, and they said, "Man, we just got to ask you, how did you do that?" And he said, "What do you mean?" They said, "How did you hold on for that long? How did you do that?" And he just looked at them, and he said, "Oh," he said, "I didn't hold on to that rope all that time." And they just looked at him, and he said, "That rope was holding on to me." He said, I took hold of that rope. He said, "But there was extra rope underneath me, and I took myself, and I made a lasso out of it, and I wrapped that rope around me." He said, "So for the rest of that time, I didn't have to hold on to the rope. The rope was holding on to me." And church, I'm here to tell you this morning that the Spirit of God is telling us, here's your strategy for getting through what you see happening in a broken and fallen world. You take these promises and you wrap yourselves around them, and you'll find out that when danger comes, 1,000 will fall at your one side and 10,000 at your right side, but you will not be touched, because right when you think danger has come, you'll find out that those promises that you took and wrapped around you are holding on to you. The Word of God is our firm foundation, and the name of the Lord is our strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and we're safe. And we're safe. Amen? And I'm telling you that divine protection will now be the calling card of the church. That as even has been prophesied, the harvest will come and they will come running in our doors. And many have thought, why will they suddenly come and run to what they have previously shunned? And it will be because in the places where they live and they traverse, there are no answers anymore. And they will come and say, why aren't you full of fear? Didn't you see what played out in Paris in the news? Didn't you see what happened in San Bernardino? How do you not know that we are next? Why aren't you fearful? And you'll say, I'm so glad you asked. Let me take you to a place called Psalm chapter 91. Well, how do you know it's true? Because this is at the end of 2015, and I'm still walking, breathing, happy, healthy, whole, and I've made the name of the Lord my strong tower, and I'm running into it, and I am saved. And even anything that the enemy has made a play for me and my family and tried to take, God says, you keep your place with me, and I'll restore it back unto you, and I'll make you seven times better than you were before. We heard the word of the Lord yesterday at a Christmas luncheon. Of course, Life of Faith Bible Church would have a prophetic Christmas luncheon. Pastor Gene can't even make the announcements without bringing forth the word of the Lord. I can't tell you how I thoroughly enjoyed that this morning. I just love that. That's why we're buddies. But the word of the Lord yesterday was about the word of restoration. And the word restore in the Hebrew actually means, one of the meanings is a triplicate effect. How many of you have heard the phrase, a three-chord strand cannot be broken? So if something is broken and you let God, by His Spirit, through His way, put it back together, what God restores can never be broken again. That is why it's easy for you to sit back and go, God, do it your way, in your timing, through your process. I'm okay with that because I could get a drive-through version of restoration and make it look pretty on the inside, but in a certain amount of time, it's going to break again. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, we're wrapping ourselves in the promises. Amen? Now, I want you to turn over to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, because every promise that you and I have from the Word of God started with our covenant that was founded by your great, 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 10 more greats, grandfather, Abraham. And make no mistake about it, he is your relative. And you are direct descendant, and you have taken hold of everything that was his inheritance left to you. Amen? Every promise that we have is part of the inheritance that God gave Abraham to pass down to many generations that started with a covenant, not between two men that could break it, but between our father Abraham and God Jehovah. Hallelujah. You got Genesis 12 there? As you're looking at that, let me read this to you. If you're taking notes, just write this down, Hebrews 6 and verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater than by himself, saying, surely, somebody say surely. Surely blessing, I will bless you, and I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, so he obtained the promises. How many of you know that every promise of God that he's made to us is not a pipe dream to heaven? It is meant to be a reality in your life. Amen? God has no intention of you and I speaking the word of God and just speaking the word of God till Jesus come and gets us all. No, the intent for speaking is for it to take formation and become the reality that we live in. Hallelujah. So you could say, you could spend... What is today, December 13th, 12th? 13th. You could spend from December 13th on taking the word and building 2016 in your life with the word. Even if you just did a building block a day, you could build 2016 with the word for your life if you got specific enough and you put your faith on it. I know I plan on doing it. Amen? So I want to give you some things that are your covenant right, because this is your inheritance from your father Abraham. First of all, you know about Abraham's life that in Genesis chapter 12, I guess I should turn there myself. In Genesis chapter 12, God speaks to Abraham and he says in verse 1, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and go to a land that I will show you." First of all, God revealed to Abraham, and God reveals to you and I our place. Everybody say, my place. Now, you got to know this, that your place is where all grace abounds to you. Amen. That's why the enemy will work double time to try and get you out of your place. Now, let me just get practical for 2 seconds and help you with what your place is. Your place is in relationship with God. Your place is the geographical city that God's placed you in. Your geographical city that he's placed you in has everything to do with the church that he has placed you in. If we had a lot more time, we could go through the word and prove that time and time again, that your place is directly connected to the place of the body of Christ where God has placed you. And so your place is where your grace for living flows, and you do not want to experience life out of your place. It's not fun. Life in your place is good. Life in your place gives you an advantage. It gives you an edge for success. No matter what circumstance comes, it's like you got a home run bat in your hand that you can just hit it back and knock it out of the park. Grace for your place. So first of all, part of being wrapped in the promises, which is based on this covenant, the first part of your covenant is you are promised, I will show you your place. Your part in that covenant is to know it and stay in it. And when the enemy comes strategically to offer you other options, or to get you offended with your place, or to get you bored with your place, or to try and paint your place maybe in another way, your job is to hold fast and stay fixed. Amen. So your promise, say, I'm promised to know my place. When Abraham obeyed, and it says he got up, and he departed, and he went to a place God would show them. If you took the time, you could read it later in Genesis 12, to read what happened. The reciprocal effect that came back on Abraham was twofold, provision and protection. When you're in your place, you're promised provision and protection. You say, why are you taking time to lay this out? Because this is what God's wanting to reveal to you with more clarity in for 2016. You need to go into this next year having defined for you what is my place. Because in 2016, God has a strategy for you, but so does your enemy. And if you've already defined and decided and even said aloud and wrote down, what is my place I know God has set me in? Then when that strategy of the enemy shows up, you'll already be prepared for it. If you have left that up for definition, you've opened a door for the enemy to come in and have voice in defining what is and what is not your place. I see this happen all the time with people. And it's such an easy fix. What's my place? God, is this the church you've set me in? Yeah, I have peace about it. That's my place. Lord, is this the job and the company and the place? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing right now? Do you have anything else to say to me right now about that? No, this is my place. All right then, this is my place. God, is this the way that you want me to serve and be involved? Okay, that's my place. Define it. Amen? So the reciprocal effect for being in your place, because this is the will that was left to you, is provision and protection. When provision was added to Abraham's life, and he saw that even when he was in the midst of enemies, God protected him, Abraham's response, which set precedent for you and I forever, was that he tithed. And he gave a tenth of the provision God had given him, and the protection of that provision because of his divine protection, and he gave it back to God, and that secured the protection of his finances and his family and all that concerned him. Glory to God. I love tithing. It secures all that I have. It rebukes the devourer. And every time I go to be in faith about something, I love having that wind at my back that says, I'm a tither. I don't want to do life without that wind at my back. It makes you cocky, doesn't it? Don't even think about it. I'm a tither. I love that. Okay, so you have your place. We don't have time to read these, but let me just give you this. First, God reveals his place. Genesis 17, verse 4, God revealed Abraham's purpose. I want you to say this: knowing my purpose is part of my covenant. Oh, I love that. Genesis 17, 4, and he said this: as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make you exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. You know that your name is included there in the list of kings that came out of Abraham? Jesus, take the wheel. Hallelujah. Your covenant right is knowing your place, and your covenant right is knowing your purpose. So don't go undefined in 2016. Genesis 17 and verse 21. I only have 20 more of these. I'm just kidding. Genesis 17 and verse 21. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, Abraham's son, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. You are by right given to know your timing. No more can you say, I don't know, because it goes against your covenant right. Sure, you may have to say by faith, I know, but start saying it and build your 2016. It is given to you by covenant right that you are to know your place, to know your purpose, to know your timing. And I'm going to give you this because you can handle it. Genesis 18 and verse 17. This is the last part that you are given to know by covenant right. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become great and mighty, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done all according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. It was Abraham's covenant right that God would reveal to him his place, his purpose, his timing, and he would reveal even unto him that which was about to take place in the region in which he lived. Because as far as heaven was concerned, that was Abraham's jurisdiction. Now, I'm saying to you that I believe, because of the intensity of the days we're living in, that it has come upon not just Pastor Stephen and Jean, but upon us as kings, that the Spirit of God will show us what is coming into the region we live in before it comes. Shall I not reveal unto Abraham these events which are coming? And notice that when he revealed them to Abraham, because Abraham had jurisdiction, he had a seat of authority because that was his set place, that Abraham, by the words he spoke, was able to change some things. Well, yeah, but those people were full of sin. And you know, the United States, we've legalized homosexuality and God's lifted his... I can't even say that. Because this is our nation, and we are still in it.
Yes. Hallelujah.
If you dare to say God's lifted his hand off of this nation, then that means you and I have failed as the body of Christ, and that is unaffordable and impossible for you and I. Because the Bible already prophesied our outcome. He's coming back for a bride that is spotless, that is strong. He's coming back for a people, as Daniel said, that know intimately their God and are strong and shall do exploits. Great things. That's who we are. And so we've entered into a time then, you see, where God will not only show us things to come for you and I, but he will show us things to come for the place that he set us into. You could even say, if you dare be so bold, that in the company and the place that you work, God will begin to reveal to you things that are coming. Some of these things you will be able to change in prayer. Some of these things God will give you wisdom for and help keep your company, your business, your place out of a certain amount of demise. And certainly your family. This is ours by covenant right. This is not a special dispensation. This is not something I can claim to walk in because of the office in which I stand. This is not a spiritual endowment. This is a covenant. And God is bound to that covenant that he promised to Abraham, because when he saw the potential of Abraham, he saw your face. If you go back and read when God was talking to Abraham and establishing that covenant, you know what God had me do? I've read those verses, chapters so many times. I had a whole class on the blood covenant when I went to Rhema Bible College. It was so awesome. But just in the past month, God's had me go back and read when, I think it was 3 or 4 times, he visited Abraham and he talked to him about that covenant. And you know what God said to me? He said, I want you to read it again. And I want you to use your imagination. And I want you to remove Abraham from the picture. And I want you to see you in his place. And now read it again. Because he said, to me, it's real time. It didn't happen thousands of years ago. And when it comes to you and I, Jen, I see you there. I don't see Abraham. And of all the things that we could spend this time talking about, and my last service of 2015, it is of this covenant that the Spirit of God would have me speak, so that we will leave this place knowing who we are, what is ours by right, and we will wake up to a greater degree. And as Isaiah 52 says, awake, awake, and put on your strength, Life of Faith Bible Church. And it is the strength of God that we put on that will cause us to stand out like never before. Amen? Okay, now I'm not waiting for a phone call. God gave me some things in the car for, I believe, for this church that I want to end on, and then we're going to do some things here. I said this at the prophetic Christmas luncheon yesterday, which I will always refer to it as now. Join us for a prophetic Christmas luncheon where anything could happen. Prizes, prophecy. Okay. I'm sorry. You guys pull out the strangest things out of me. I come intending to be on my best behavior. Let's tighten up the ship. Okay. This came out yesterday at the prophetic Christmas luncheon. And it was this, maybe 2 days ago, I heard the Lord say real strongly, like a resounding voice. He said, "You've been asking me, what are you doing in my life?" And then I heard him say, "And I am telling you that I have been working to move you into position for this time. You've been asking of me, God, what are you doing in my life? And I am telling you that I have been working to move you into position for this time. And positioning is very important. Everyone is going to experience 2016. But people are going to do it from different positions. And the position in which you live from will completely affect the experience that you have." I know, that was good, wasn't it? I never said that before. Now here's what I heard him say. We were praying some of these things out in the car. And I heard him say this. He said, "Before you enter into the new year," now I don't know that this is for the body of Christ, but I know it's for this house, and I know it's for me. He said, "Before you come into this year," he said, "it's like you've entered into a bend in the road, a turn in the road." And he said, I want you to make the turn. I want you to come through the bend, because 2016 is going to look entirely different for you. And that's why I have been at work to position you. He said this, "I am doing some things in the bend, making the bend." He said, "I am number one." And you know what's funny is I've heard this word for the last 4 weeks in my spirit. And every church I've been at, every weekend I've been in a different church, I never could do anything with it. And I knew it's like a demonstration, it's something God wants to do. But I'd be in a place and I'd hear that word and I couldn't do anything with it. And God said, "This is the place, now is the time." And here's what he said, I can't wait to study this out. He said, "I am retooling my sent ones." He said, "I am giving you some new keys, because in 2016, you're going to reach new doors, and you will be tempted at first to say, I don't know what to do with this door, and suddenly you will realize, I have the key." In 2016 and the years ahead, this is already true of this house. There is a specific hallmark about this church. And one of them is that when people come here, they receive supernaturally, supernatural situational changes. And it is such a hallmark to them that it causes them to realize this is a supernatural place. People come in with serious problems, and they come into the house, and either by divine revelation or by divine impartation or all of the above, in a short amount of time, situational changes are done. Yes. And it causes them to know this is not your everyday church. It is the calling card of this house. So if you know people that are in a mess, just bring them. Oh, ikiriyama shikito yishafaso brashta vida, indiana manangel. And so in 2016, God's been saying, man, rolling in me. I'm glad to finally get this thing out of me. I'm retooling you. Now he's retooling us because of the things that are coming in this next year. You're going to need a new set of tools. You're going to need different tools for the next year than you had before. You say, what does that mean? You're going to have to take it by faith and trust that the Spirit of the Lord is going to make it clear. I know for some, God's going to bring you to opportunities, and you're going to face those opportunities, and in your flesh, you would be tempted to say, I don't know how to do this thing. But then you'll realize, no, wait, I do. He retooled me. Hallelujah. New tools. Supernatural abilities to do things in the natural. New tools. New ways to speak and pray by faith. And it's the tool that gets the job done. New tools. I believe it's new tools even for ministry, for this place. New tools to get the word out. Hallelujah. There's so much that has been invented and created in this day and time. Those things are tools for us to use. And so there's natural tools. I believe that if you'll believe God, He might put some strange things on your heart to believe Him for. And you think, why would I believe God for that? And if you'll check, you'll find that heaven has a purpose for it. He's going to use it as a tool. All the guys are nudging their wife like, that's why I'm believing for the boat. It's a tool. I'm telling you. Honey, we're going to take people out on that boat. They can't go anywhere. And we're going to preach the gospel to them. I'm helping you fellas out today. New tools. Everybody say new tools.
New tools.
I'm going to use
in
2016. But this morning, God is retooling you. And I know by His Spirit that all this month I have been carrying this, and it is to be released, and I believe that I am to lay hands on you. And so if you're here, you do not have to come. But if you're here and you would like hands laid upon you, because you know in your heart, I sense this thing, that I am to be retooled for the coming year. You're going to have to come and turn your head off and receive by faith, by spiritual impartation, and not say, what if I don't understand what this means? There's no verse in the Bible that says, ye must understand what this means in order to receive. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
So am I. Hallelujah. And so if that's the desire of your heart, I'm going to go ahead and invite you to come. And I'm sure the ushers will direct you. And we're going to lay hands on you and have a demonstration of the work of the Spirit of God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.